How's it going, Michelle?
Hey, Megan. It's going pretty well. I'm fresh off of therapy.
Oh, God, I love therapy.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
You feeling like your reality is all set straight now?
In check, yeah. I got a good grasp on it.
That's good, because today we are talking about alterations of reality in a way, because this is the episode where we're talking about gaslighting.
Bum, bum, bum.
So for those who don't know, gaslighting, I'm gonna define it. Gaslighting is when you are trying to manipulate somebody, really, to alter their sense of what their reality is. So you sort of plant little seeds of doubt by changing the narrative a little bit. You say like, oh, well, that's not how it really happened, or you didn't really feel that way, or that's not how I remember it. And just sort of cause them to question their own perception. So it's a manipulation. And like many manipulations, the ultimate goal is control. Tell everybody how it came to be.
Yeah, there was actually a play written by a British playwright, Patrick Hamilton, in 1938 called Gaslight. It was then made into a movie in 1944. Actually, I think there was a 1940 version as well, but the 1944 one was really the one that gained some traction, starring Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer. In the film, the husband manipulates his wife into believing that she can no longer trust herself and her own perceptions of reality. So he's sowing those seeds of doubt. And it's named Gaslight because in one of the scenes, he causes all of the lights in the house to flicker, and they were gas lamps, obviously. And as they're flickering, she's wondering what's happening, and he's telling her, there's nothing happening. What are you talking about?
So that reminds me of The Girl on the Train.
Oh, yes.
The book and the movie, and that basically is a story about gaslighting. I mean, she is definitely got a substance abuse problem, but that is something that's sort of pushed through her feelings of instability and like she's going crazy because her husband gaslights her so much because he's an evil person.
And still as her ex-husband. I mean, in the movie, they're already split up, right?
Right. Yeah. And so I feel like reading that book or watching that movie is basically a definition of gaslighting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly the most recent film that we've seen that talks to that topic.
Right. It's sort of the most modern current movie about gaslighting.
Yeah. And yeah, she had some substance abuse problems, specifically alcoholism. But I have to wonder, like, there's probably some chicken and the egg stuff happening there.
Yeah, definitely. And that movie, well, it sounds like both movies, there's a partner relationship where it's essentially abusive, but that doesn't necessarily always mean physical or verbal abuse like we're used to seeing it. Yep. It's more like a manipulation and sort of cutting someone down and making them question their reality and who they are and what they know. So is this, do you think this something that typically happens? Like, is gaslighting typically a relationship thing?
I think it can manifest in a lot of ways. Certainly in romantic relationships, absolutely. Parent-child relationships.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I might gaslight my kids sometimes.
I mean, like,
when they're telling...
Do we need to have a talk, man?
When they're telling somebody a story and it's from their frame of reference about how something happened, don't you ever be like, oh, okay, no, that's not what happened or that's not how it happened?
Is that
a correction or is that gaslighting your children?
I think that's a correction. No, unless you're just straight up lying about what happened. In that case,
well,
we should have a chat.
They just have a knack for phrasing things that just sound like, okay.
You're not wrong. Your kids do that.
Yeah.
No, but I have a good friend who a few years ago cut off all contact with her mom because she, as she got older and kind of did the work and was really reflecting, she came to realize how incredibly manipulative and narcissistic and abusive really her mom was, and how toxic she was, and that she'd been gaslighting her whole life. Her life is so much better now without her in it.
One of the articles that we read was talking about how people who are frequently gaslighters are sociopaths or people who have like extreme narcissism. Why do you think those are characteristics of somebody who's a gaslighter?
I think in those cases, those are people who are so focused on their own wants and needs and personal gain and control that they don't care that somebody else might be hurt in the process. Mm-hmm. They just want to get what they want.
Yeah, one of the articles said gaslighters aren't ever really listening. They practice something called cognitive empathy, where basically they act like they care. They're great at acting like they care, and they're great at acting like they're really listening to you. But that's only in situations where ultimately they think they can get something out of it. I think it referred to them as emotional vampires, mm-hmm. which might explain why, you know, sometimes you have a conversation with somebody and you feel like you are able to make your point or state your position, and then you find yourself having the same conversation 2 weeks later because maybe they weren't really focused on you
right
in that moment, if you were a victim of gaslighting.
Emotional vampire, I like that. That particular author, Stephanie Sarkis is her name. She seems to have a pretty aggressive hot take on gaslighting. She
noticed that too.
She feels some kind of way
about it.
I
think she's been a victim of gaslighting.
I think so.
So here are, I was trying to think of some other examples of gaslighting that aren't just a relationship between two people, a romantic relationship. One example that I came up with is sometimes I feel like this happens when you're working with a salesperson. Because like if you're making a big purchase and it feels like they are, even if you've done your research and educated yourself about whatever this product or service it is that you want to buy, I think that it might be part of their technique to make you feel like you don't really understand this, you don't really get what this is, and so let me take care of it for you because I'm the one who has all the answers, I'm the one who understands what it is that you're looking at, you know, investing your money in. I think it can be maybe like a lucrative method.
For sure. It'd be a good tactic for them. That's interesting. I think that there are people who are going to be more prone to that affecting them. Somebody who is pretty firm in their self-confidence, I think, is going to have less trouble in that situation. I'm thinking about specifically my mom. Like, if that woman goes to buy a car or something, she walks in, this little lady, and those people are probably like, hell yes. Let's go.
Yeah.
Here we go. We got one. We reeled one in. And no, man, that bitch will walk right out if she doesn't get what she wants. She's gone.
Yeah.
And she's so good at that and like and negotiating. And but she's also somebody who has high degree of self-confidence. And I think if you are someone who is already in a place of self-doubt, perhaps you're undergoing this sort of relationship in some other part of your life. And then you go to go buy, you know, a yacht.
As we do.
I'm manifesting my reality right now. I'm just putting it out there into the universe.
When you do buy your yacht.
Yes, please.
Let's record a podcast on it.
Oh, hell yeah. Yes. The waves crashing in the background. Anyway.
Well, interesting that you use that word negotiation, because I do think that gaslighting is also a tactic or a technique in negotiating. Sometimes I think, like, if I have to negotiate for work, somebody can make you feel like you should give deference, more deference to them in this negotiation because they're an expert on a subject that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make you feel like, well, you don't know enough about this situation to get an upper hand. Sort of like what I was talking about before. Like, it doesn't matter how well prepared you are.
Mm-hmm.
If they can alter your perception of feeling like, I know what I'm talking about, and make you call into question your capability in that moment, it's like they've got you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think that specifically speaks to the connection between gaslighting and narcissism or sociopathy, because typically those...
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Sociopathy.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it's my 50-cent word for the day. Those are people typically who are charming, incredibly good, masterful in their communication, in the way that they talk to get what they want.
Well, probably really smart too, right? Like
typically,
we always talk about, because we are true crime fanatics up in here. And we always talk about how Ted Bundy and other serial killers were very smart and very charming. And, you know, was good. Like Ted Bundy was considered a pretty good looking guy.
Doesn't hold up, guys. Sorry. Zac Efron, though.
Okay. But they're so good at it that they can make you believe mm-hmm. whatever web they're spinning, you know, and they can catch you in it.
Fucking line they're trying to sell.
Yeah. That's not exclusive to serial killers. That tends to work with dating in general. So it just reminds me that I wanted to talk about romance scams. Mm. So romance scams are, you know, when you think that you've met somebody online and they seem like really perfect for you. And you can't believe how much you have in common. And they really, the person on the other end of the computer spends a lot of time cultivating that relationship. And really, they're just kind of like grooming you.
Yep.
So that ultimately they can get you to start sending them money, right? And they are good at selecting victims that they think might be susceptible to their tactics, and one of the tactics is gaslighting. They do all this research on these people that they target, and mm-hmm. you know, they go on their social media and they look up information about them so that they can reach out with a fake name and a fake picture and pretend that they are this really attractive, interesting, successful person that just happens to have all these things in common with you. Match made in heaven, right? It must be meant to be. And part of it is the alteration of your perception of what's real, because as things start to not add up, like how come you're never available to talk on the phone, or how come you can't video chat, or how come, you know, you weren't available when you said you'd be, or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of not just excuses, but also they'll say like, wow, you know, you are really sensitive about time. What, you know, why do you have such an issue with that? Or, geez, you're really pushy, and my ex was really pushy, and that's just a quality that I don't like. And then you're like, oh, geez, I don't want to lose this mm-hmm. person this.
You stop advocating for
yourself. So, yeah, your gut is telling you some things are weird here. And then they kind of gaslight you by saying, well, these aren't weird things. There's reasons for all of this. Why are you being weird? Like, right. What's your problem? And so that's part of drawing you in. So I think that definitely the perpetrators in romance scams use gaslighting as a way to rip people off and make money.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you even recognize gaslighting? How do you recognize that you're the person who is subject to mm-hmm. gaslighting? What do you look out for?
Well, something that I read, and I think it's absolutely worth noting, this is by Robin Stern, and she's the associate director at Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence, and she wrote a book called The Gaslight Effect, I think in 2007, and she has a big list of ways that you can recognize if you are a victim of gaslighting. And some of the things she says are, you know, you're always apologizing, you frequently make excuses for your partner's behavior, you think maybe you're just too sensitive, you feel confused or even like you're being crazy in a relationship. You wonder if you're good enough. Those are all things that can happen in other scenarios too, specifically in some mental health diagnoses, anxiety, depression, stuff like that. The difference is that with those things, you probably feel that way throughout your daily life, whereas with a partner, or maybe it's a boss or whoever, somebody who's gaslighting you, those things will present for you really during your interactions with that person.
Yeah. And there are common phrases too that can kind of help you recognize that gaslighting is happening.
You mean the stuff that they might say to you if they're gaslighting
yes.
you?
Okay. Yes. So here's, we saw a big list, but here's just some examples. Okay. So you said sometimes you may even feel crazy in the relationship that you're in, be it with a partner or boss or something like that. They might actually say, you know, stop acting crazy, or you sound crazy, you know, and who wants to hear, oh no, I don't want to sound crazy.
That language is so problematic anyway. It's really, it's quite ableist, but that's how they frame it. And that's how you might feel.
Or if someone said, you know, you're making a point and someone says that didn't happen. You're making that up.
Mm-hmm.
You're imagining things, or that's a huge overreaction because you're always so dramatic.
Paranoid.
You know, saying, well, you know, you often don't remember things clearly, or geez, you're so ungrateful. Nobody believes you. So why should I?
Gross.
So those are all things that might be said in an environment where somebody is trying to manipulate you, manipulate your sense of security, and sort of make you feel like a little unstable. So what do you do then once you've recognized that somebody's gaslighting you?
Well, man, I don't know. I think it really depends on who that relationship is with. Like if it's a parent, you can't necessarily just get up and leave, you know, because there are a lot of...
Unless you're an adult, like you said, your friend, you know, became estranged from her parent who was a major gaslighter.
In her 30s, you know.
Right.
But it took her that long to really see what was happening. So... probably not a whole lot of children listening to this, but as a kid, if you're stuck in a house with a, you know, manipulative, gaslighting parent, probably hard to leave.
Well, this might help you recognize, though, that you see it happening to someone else.
True. Yeah, that's true. Some things that you can do: remain defiant, resist the idea that you don't know what you saw, you don't know what you heard, you don't know what your experience was. When somebody tries to tell you that it was something other than that, trust yourself.
When someone tries to explain for you what happened to you and how you felt about it.
Yeah. No, trust yourself.
And I remember reading that you kind of have to remember and accept that there won't ever be accountability. So the person who's gaslighting you,
that's a tough one.
They will never take responsibility for it. They will never say, oh, yeah, you're right. You have a point there. They're not going to acknowledge it. And so it's sort of useless to try to draw that out of them because you're not going to get that satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. And that just means you have to let go of the wish that things will be different because, I mean, I've found myself in situations, not necessarily gaslighting specific, but you hold on to that like, oh no, but it could be so good. It could be better. If I only wait long enough, or maybe I can change the situation, change the person, any of that stuff, it's hard to let go because you want for things to be different. And realizing that sometimes they can't be or they won't be is tough.
So this is kind of a different example, but I just was thinking about, and this is especially the case with people that are in the public eye, like celebrities or politicians, where they'll use social media to create some kind of narrative, you know, like send a tweet or something. And then they forget, or somebody on their staff is not paying attention. And 3 years later, they send out another tweet or something that's the complete opposite of what they said before. But again, it's like an attempt to create a perception and a reality for you. And it's like, well, wait a second. This is, and you know, they never get away with it because there's always people
online.
We've
got the receipts, man.
There's always people online who find that stuff and trot it right out at that moment
and
say, well,
favorite.
Interesting, because you said this 3 years ago or whatever.
Let's just put these side by side, Trump. What? Who said that?
He does love to tweet.
Oh my god. Well, you know, on some scale, we have some fucking national gaslighting going on right now. I think the word really has kind of come back into modern lexicon because of that buffoon. I don't know how to say it that way. There is so much happening that we all are witness to that he then turns around and says, what? No, that didn't happen. What are you talking about? And we're like, it's on the news right now, you dumbass.
Do you think maybe a contributor to the sort of revival of this word could have been the Me Too movement as well? Women that have tried to express their reality, like Matt Lauer, for example.
Yeah.
An expression of their reality and him saying, no, no, that's not how it happened. That's not what it was. You're mistaken, you're confused, you're making that up, you know, and that's kind of like a pretty fucking great example of gaslighting, I think.
Yeah. And it may very well be, we're not going to get too deep into all that, but it may very well be that that person did totally experience it differently, but this likens back to the impact versus intent we talked about last time, because
there's a lot of overlap.
Totally. It is absolutely possible for two people to experience something differently.
I think that the difference is if somebody is saying, that's not how I remember it, this is my reality, versus,
true,
no, you're mistaken, you're making things up, you're not remembering it correctly. Instead of saying, well, here's my reality. Here's how I remember it. It differs from yours. But that's to true. Push onto somebody, this is what you should think. Mm-hmm. This is the way you screw shit up. This is the way
that... Because the other way at least acknowledges that you're seeing it in a different way. Like you were saying, to say, well, this is how I remember it, is acknowledging that you might have a different recollection. So yeah, I think you're right that on the surface, it's a semantic issue. But I think that the motivation behind it can be much more sinister than that, to say, no, this is how this happened. You're not right. Well, remembering incorrectly.
And back to, when we were talking about negotiating before, I mean, this is a common courtroom tactic in litigation.
True.
And if you're being deposed, it is definitely a minefield. If you're being deposed or cross-examined, I mean, the whole game, right, is to get you to admit or acknowledge a reality that they're creating. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just have a friend that was deposed for like 6 hours straight the other day.
Jesus.
And it's the same thing when, sometimes a witness is being interviewed and they say like their confession was coerced.
Oh, yeah.
So you're creating a reality and you're saying basically, admit it, step into this reality because this is actually what happened. You said you weren't there at midnight, but you really were, weren't you? And this is all around us, right? It's not just in an abusive relationship. And there are all different ways that gaslighting can be present.
Absolutely.
Gaslighting is all around.
It's all around us.
Doesn't that make you feel secure?
Yes, so good. I feel great.
I feel like maybe we're just... are in like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory right now.
Well, can I have some candy at least?
Maybe I'll give you some Prosecco.
Perfect. That'll work. Something else that I was reading about that I hadn't thought of and was really interesting to me was cultural gaslighting. There are many people in the world whose identities don't really fit into the standard boxes because our world is pretty binary, unfortunately. You vote Democrat, you vote Republican, you're a boy, you're a girl, you're straight, you're gay. None of those is binary. They are all continuums, if not spheres of realities.
What about like conversion camps? Isn't that a great example of gaslighting where
it's just straight abuse?
Well, agreed, but again, so I'm talking about conversion camps where like maybe somebody is gay and their family who is homophobic or whatever doesn't believe that is like they can pray the gay away or something. We'll send them to one of these camps to try to like convert them and and help them believe that homosexuality is not a thing and that you're straight. And I feel like that's some straight gaslighting too, because it's like, no. You don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. That's not your experience.
Right.
This isn't, you're not recognizing that correctly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, it's a gaslighting camp, basically.
Well, with some, physical abuse sprinkled on top and all kinds of terrible shit.
I mean, the whole thing's super fucked up.
Yeah. But that's definitely one way that could manifest. Another way that this is a huge part of our society at the moment is cultural appropriation. When people steal, whether it's knowing or not, malicious or not, cultural expressions from a culture that's not their own, it kind of erases the source of its creation. Specifically, I actually wanted to read this sentence from an article that I read called 5 Ways U.S. Culture and Society is Gaslighting Marginalized People by Chris Nelson. And they said, this type of oppression leaves communities disempowered as the beautiful things they've created in resistance to violence are stolen and misused by the very groups that oppress them.
We've had conversations before about cultural appropriation, and obviously I don't support cultural appropriation, but I think we have a difference of opinion sometimes on what is and is not cultural appropriation negative.
Sure.
Like, to me, I've always felt like if it's a celebration of someone else's culture, like a little kid dressing up as Moana for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a movie made about this girl and her culture, and I love it so much, and I identify with it so much. I want to emulate her and put a costume on and look like her to go trick-or-treating or whatever. To me, that's different than something really offensive like blackface.
Very, very different.
So
let's be clear.
And I know that this is a really sensitive, touchy subject, but I just don't think that all celebration of another culture is a negative cultural appropriation.
I think that a lot of them certainly don't intend to be. Ultimately, I've just kind of come to a place where I don't think it's up to me to decide. I don't get to choose whether this cultural appropriation is okay, but this one is not, because none of it's about me.
So, okay, I have two questions for you. One is, let's say your daughter said, I want to dress up as Moana for Halloween. Would you say, no, you can't, because that's cultural appropriation?
Until very recently, I wouldn't have even thought about it.
What if she asked you this year? What if she said, Mom, I saw a Moana costume at Target. I really like it. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to be for Halloween because I love that movie so much.
I honestly, given all the conversations that she and I have been having lately about everything that's going on, I think I would have that conversation and tell her that she probably shouldn't. We might not be able to fully understand why it's not okay and why it would feel bad to somebody else, but the fact is that it does.
Okay. Well, agree to disagree. I mean, I would say sure. You're celebrating. Mm-hmm. That movie is a celebration of their culture.
To be clear, it's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I freaking love it. But, you know, you want to celebrate the character. I know that there was a lot of painstaking care to make sure there was accurate representation because I've watched some behind the scenes stuff on it. So I'm not saying you're wrong and I'm right or vice versa. That's just somewhere we would differ.
Yeah.
I would let my kid do it. If my kid wanted to dress up as something and be offensive, that something I think is outright offensive, like blackface, I would say no way in hell and have the conversation. So I think we just have different thresholds there. The other thing I was going to ask you, Alicia, our friend that we had on here the other day, she's an incredible hairstylist and she does hair for all kinds of different people with different ethnic backgrounds. She's taken some classes on cornrowing, and one time I did see her wear her hair like that. Do you think because she's blonde and has blue eyes that she shouldn't be doing that?
I just don't think I get to decide should or shouldn't. That's it's just not for me to say.
I don't get it, because you're basically saying I don't get to have an opinion on that.
I think there are some things I don't get to have an opinion on.
Okay. Because I think this kind of relates back to the last episode, the impact versus intent. By sitting back and choosing not to voice anything, to me, that basically says, I'm not going to say anything about it, so you're okay with it. Because if you weren't okay with it, you would say something.
Like if I saw Alicia wearing it, I would tell her why it's not okay?
Well, not necessarily that you would say to her, like, I don't appreciate you wearing your hair like that, but would you think that's inappropriate because that's cultural appropriation?
It would cross my mind.
Okay.
If I'm being honest, yeah.
Okay.
And again, this is a new kind of thought pattern for me, because it's not something I thought about. It's not something I had to think about, because good old white privilege. I appreciate you bringing that up, though, because it is, it's a good example of where, you know, we're both thoughtful about things and still come to different conclusions.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't have any problem with your opinion or where you've landed on that. It's just different for me.
Well, I think you're a horrible person.
I think you're a straight up bitch. Never talk to me again.
Love you. It's interesting though, because I wonder, you know, every time someone's gaslighting you, if they know they're doing it.
Oh, I doubt it.
I think not. Yeah.
Some people might be learned behavior, right?
For sure. Yeah, if you grew up in that kind of environment.
You're a family of gaslighters.
It fucking happens.
Could you imagine marrying into a family like that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Stay single.
Yeah, I think regardless of kind of where it came from in them, that they're absolutely people, in my experience, that have no idea they're doing it. And I wonder if people sort of rewrite their own history and then they're so convinced by it that that's what they think you should believe too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People definitely rewrite history and then try to convince you that that was your history too. Mm-hmm. I think if you are in a situation where somebody is saying, no, no, you're wrong. That's not how that happened. That's not how I remember it. You're making that up or whatever. I definitely think that it could be because they really believe genuinely, what they're saying. Yeah. They convinced themselves that this is how it went down or this is...
Well, people definitely do experience things differently because everyone sees what they're going through in any given moment through their own filter, through their own perspective and frame of reference. And even if we're in the exact same room experiencing the same thing, we still might experience it differently. But I think that there's a difference between recognizing, like we were talking about before, that we might remember something differently than saying, no, no, this is how it happened over here, not what you said.
But should you be more forgiving then? Because like when we were doing the impact versus intent episode, we were talking about manslaughter, voluntary, involuntary, mm-hmm. second degree murder, first degree.
Right.
And a lot of that.
It's not as harsh.
The severity of the punishment comes down to the intent, right? Like mm-hmm. If you intentionally murder somebody and it's premeditated, your severity of your punishment for that crime will be greater than somebody right. who did it was not premeditated and they
as it should be
had no intent. So, I mean, do you apply the same level of
personally? I think I do. I think that
so, like you're saying, if someone is gaslighting and rewriting history, but they're doing it almost like unconsciously because they're conditioned to do that, you're more forgiving of the gaslighting than somebody who. Mm-hmm. is intentionally doing it and they know they're doing it.
Yeah, possibly to my own detriment. Yes, I think I am.
I mean, I think there's more malice there. Like in the movies we were talking about at the beginning, those are fictional stories, but mm-hmm. they're reflective of shit that actually happens every day. There are definitely people that are great gaslighters that know they're doing it. Mm-hmm. They have honed their craft. Mm-hmm. And the worst ones are usually abusers. You know, people that manipulate and abuse a partner or a child or whatever. I mean, it's not the same thing as grooming, but like I'm thinking of kids, you know, that are abused by a trusted family member or somebody they know in their community. It's not the same as grooming. But they may be creating a reality for them that certain interactions between them are normal and not worth reporting or talking about, which is gross. But it's, I mean, we said in the beginning when we define this, it's psychological.
Mm-hmm. It's abuse. But yeah, that is incredibly different and should be taken more seriously than the unconscious gaslighting that somebody might do.
Gaslighting, but that would be
third degree.
But that would be interesting because, yeah, I mean, there's gaslighting with intent or without intent. And
that's the kind of shit that's so hard to prove, which is why you end up stuck in those cycles of, you know, arguments and you don't know.
Just have to limit it to the court of judgment in your own mind.
Perfect. I go to that court a lot.
You've been on the bench there for a while.
On that note, oh, boy. Man.
Michelle, do you need more Prosecco?
Yeah, I think so. I've had a couple, though.
No, that's still your first glass.
What? It is?
Yeah. Remember, I just opened this, like, right before we started, and I just poured your first glass.
Oh, jeez. I guess
I'm just I'm fucking with you. I'm gaslighting you.
What a bitch.
I'm changing your reality.
Oh, no.
That is your second glass, but I do think you should have some more.
That's a good Prosecco theory.
Is there a Prosecco theory to come out of this?
Don't gaslight people.
Wow, that was deep.
I mean, really, though, if you find yourself in a situation where you feel unstable in your own reality, do some reading. Check things out. See if you might be in a situation where someone's not, you know, treating you with the utmost respect because they might be just trying to get what they want from you with some good old gaslighting.
Yeah, I think my Prosecco theory is pretty short, which is just trust your gut.
Yeah, believe in yourself. That's the most important thing.
Now that I've successfully gaslighted you, I think we should call it a wrap.
I'm leaving. It's so rude.
You'll be back.
Yeah, probably. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us.